thanks, Jerry, for asking me to share tonight. Welcome, all you guys who are listening in. Tonight, I'm teaching on communication, okay? You can go to Ephesians 5. What's communication? Here's one definition. It's the process of exchanging information. And in marriage, that would mean that if you're communicating, you're telling each other stuff. And that's the idea. You're exchanging information about each other, like how you're doing or how you're feeling or what you feel like you need or if you're blessed or if you're not or whatever. And it's very important in a marriage that you talk to each other. It's another definition is sharing thoughts. You know, I don't know what you think. I think I know what Richard's thinking. He thinks I'm a dumb person. Look at his, I can tell by his face he thinks I'm weird. No. See, you can guess at what people are thinking, but how can you know what they're thinking if you tell them? And how can your spouse know what you're thinking? Only if you tell them. Your spouse can't even read your mind. I've been married for like 10 years and still I don't know what Carol thinks most of the time. I don't even know where Carol is right now, as a matter of fact. So if you want to be successful in your marriage, you have to talk to each other. You got to talk to each other. You got to talk stuff out. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's really sweet. But you got to communicate with each other. If you're happy, if you're sad, if you're upset about something, if you want to do something, if you see something's lacking or feel something's lacking, you got to talk it over. And I'm going to go over three things about communication from the Word. There's a lot more you could get into. But the first one is in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. For the Scotch people here, the Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. This is very, very, very basic, and I want you to really think about this in your own life. Think about yourself. The verse is 4:25, and it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." We, as married people, we're supposed to become one flesh, right? We're stuck to each other, and we just can't lie to each other. We can't lie to each other because then we don't know what's going on. Can you imagine if you're wondering about your big toe one day, and you asked your big toe, "How are you doing?" And it goes, "Oh, I'm fine. Well, you'd be weird if your toe talked to you like that. But what if you just your toe said, "I'm fine, don't worry about me, I'm fine." Then you finally take off your sock, and your toe's all bruised and beat up, and now you realize why you've been limping all over the place. The toe should have told you what? "I need help. I need a Band-Aid. I need something like that." And we need to be that honest with each other. And you should think about, do you lie? Do you lie to your spouse? A lie is conscience or intentional falsehood. Saying something that's untrue, an untrue statement, or whatever is not what it professes to be, whatever is not what it acts like, you know. Are you lying to your spouse? And, you know, Ephesians is addressed to, go to Ephesians 1 real quick. Ephesians 1, verse 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the liars in Christ Jesus." Is that what that says? Yeah. This book is written to the faithful believers. And yet over in chapter 4, it says, start with verse 20 here. "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." And it's talking about that you put off concerning the what? Former conversation, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And it's talking about putting off the old man, and that you put on what? The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The first thing it tells you to actually do in the context of putting on the new man is what? Quit lying. Quit lying. And putting away means to put off or put it aside. Put it away. And this is written to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Do you lie to your spouse? You need to think about what you say before you say it. And quit just, you know, some people just auto-lie. You know what an auto-lie is? "What were you doing?" "Oh, nothing." "Were you at the store?" "No, did you see me at the store?" "What were you doing over there?" "Oh, was I over there?" You know, it's almost like you'd have to think about it. Stop and think. Am I telling my spouse the truth? Am I being honest with my spouse? "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man's truth with his neighbor." Why? We're stuck together. You can't lie to each other. Now, this is talking about the body of Christ. But a marriage is compared to the mystery of the body of Christ, and you're stuck with that person, and you just can't lie to that person. And really think about it. Do I lie to my spouse? Do I lie to my spouse, or am I honest about stuff? Now, you're supposed to be actively charitable on insignificant points, so you can't get upset about everything and complain about everything. But if there's situations that you need to deal with, guess what? You need to deal with them. You need to deal with them. Look at Matthew 18. And people don't sometimes. They just quit dealing with it. And it doesn't get better, does it? Have you ever had a situation that you didn't deal with? Did it get better? Want to tell me what it was? No, you don't want to tell me what it was? I don't want to know what it was. I've got too many stories already in my short little life. In Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus Christ said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," but this works for married people too. If you have a problem with your spouse, right, and once maybe if you're married like 40 years, maybe every 17 years you might have some little disagreement with your spouse, I'm not sure. But if you don't like the way your marriage is going, or if you have some sort of problem with your spouse, and it's not some little thing like, he keeps making his whiskers fall in the sink, genuine problem, what you do is you talk to your mom about it, don't you? Mom, mama, is there anyone here named Biff? Mom, Biff and I just aren't getting along. He's not coming home at night. Does it do any good to talk to your mom about Biff? Who do you talk to about Biff? Biff. You talk to Biff. Do we do that? See, people don't like to do this because it's unpleasant. Many times it's like an argument. Many times it's like a fight. But you have to be willing to fight with each other sometimes to get things right. And what it says is, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault." Go and tell his fault between he and him. What?
Alone.
You think that could apply to your husband or to your wife? Go and tell Jerry about what your husband is doing. Is that what it says? Or Joe or Jimmy? Don't tell Jimmy. But go and tell someone else about your problems. Is that how it should start? Where should it start? And if you're really having a hard time and your husband or wife says, "How are you doing?" And you go, "Oh, I'm great." What's that?
A lie.
That's a lie. And it's just because it's easier. It's the easiest road. But you have to deal with situations that come up. And I'm not saying that negative situations will come up, but I am saying negative situations will come up. There's a lot of pressure in this life, isn't there? There's a lot of things the adversary pulls. And if you're not talking to each other and telling people what you're thinking, telling your spouse what you're thinking, guess who gets in there? The adversary. So as a part of communicating, don't lie. And if you have situations you have to deal with them with guess who? Your spouse. Don't go to your tia or the town borracho or whatever. Go to who? The drunk. Go to your spouse. You know what that means. Does Joe know what it means? So you get that point? If you're having a situation, who should you talk to? And if you're having a situation, should you talk about it? Yes, you should, to your spouse. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him," what? Alone. How many people really do that? And yet that's what works. That's how things work. That's how in human relationships, this is what works. You go and talk to that person if you're having a problem. And if it's your spouse, if you're not happy with something or having weird thoughts or don't like the way you're being treated or don't like some situation, who do you talk to? And might it be a big blow up and be very unpleasant? Yes, it might. But is it worth it? Yes, it is. You have to be willing to go through that sometimes to keep your relationship. And you have to do that in the body of Christ, too. Do you think that all of us older guys get along all the time? You think Jerry and I agree with about everything? We do. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him," what? Alone. That's what you got to do. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Look at Luke 17. So don't lie. Be honest. That's such a very basic principle, and it's violated so much. People, you know, just kind of leave things out or don't talk about what's really going on or do stuff that's deceitful that they hide from each other. Just be honest. Don't hide. Don't hide stuff. And in Luke 17, verse 3, it says, Luke 17:3 says, take heed to yourself. This one is even stronger. It says, watch it. Watch yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, what do you do? And you know what? Rebuke. That's communication. And sometimes, as a spouse, you got to rebuke your husband or your wife. That's a part of speaking the truth. Speaking the truth, what is really true. Speaking the word to each other. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if repent, of course, you what? That's the pattern. And that's the pattern for your marriage. If you have a problem with your husband or wife, talk to him about it. And then once you've talked it out, guess what? Forgive them. Just forgive them. But you do sometimes tell your spouse the truth. That's a part of not lying. Look at Romans 15. Nobody's perfect. Nobody gets it all right. One of the ways we help each other is we tell each other the word when we need the word. And if you don't tell each other the word, you've got it like a conspiracy, the two of you, a little conspiracy to not do the word. Let's just agree to not do the word. Let's just agree to, you know, that we don't like that believer over there. Let's agree that we both hate that believer. Well, that's a conspiracy to not do the word. Someone's got to speak up and tell the truth. Like it says, tell each other the truth. Like it says in Romans 15, verse 14, it says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. We know that. All of you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Probably too much. But look at this. Able also to what? Admonish means to, you know, rebuke or put in mind. And one of the things we as believers are supposed to do is remind each other of the word. Remind each other what the word says. Are we giving? Honey, are we giving? Do we give?
I don't know. Do you care? Oh, never mind. Let's not talk about it.
Or, do we go to fellowship anymore? Should we go to fellowship anymore? You got to put the word in each other's mind. Look at Acts 5. That's a part of being honest and speaking the truth. Honey, you probably shouldn't have run over those three people yesterday. That wasn't loving.
Quiet, quiet. I'm the head. I can run over anybody I want.
In Acts 5, verse 1, it says, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, and what was she? His wife, you're right. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, what did they do? They sold something. They sold some land. You got that? But then everyone else was selling their land and giving it and saying, we're giving all this money to the ministry. But they decided in verse 2 to what? They kept back part of it. This is like, we want to act like those people who give everything, but we don't really want to give everything, so we're going to front. We're going to be hypocrites. We're going to lie about it. This is like one of the first places in Acts where hypocrisy started to creep in to the first century church. You know, acting like a believer and not being a believer. You know, acting it out so you can look cool with the other, in front of the other believers. And so in verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being what? And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what if his wife would have said, that's wrong. That's lying. You shouldn't lie. Would the story turn out the same? Do you know how this story turns out? Well, maybe if his wife would have spoken up, they'd still be alive today. But probably not. That was 2,000 years ago. But they probably would have lived longer than verse what? 7 or whatever. What verse did they? Oh, he went down in 5. She went down in verse 10. And you know, they probably could have lived to chapter 6 if she would have just said, no, seriously, if she would have said, you're saying we're going to lie to all the believers and act like hypocrites and fake that we gave a lot of money? That's wrong, honey. That's wrong. But they didn't do that. What they did is they agreed to not do the word. And a good marriage, in a good marriage, the word of God, God is more important than your husband and than your wife. Who's first? Who do you love most? And I'll tell you something else. Happiness doesn't come from your spouse. All the great things come from God. If you depend on your spouse to make you happy, you've put too much of a burden on a very weak person, a person who's just like you. And so you're first and foremost, husband or wife, responsible to God. And if she would have said, that's wrong, let's not do that, let's be honest, they might have lived till Acts 26, I don't know. But they didn't. They agreed to not do the word. And that's not honest. That's not speaking the truth to each other. Look at Colossians 3. So, number one, don't lie. Don't lie to each other. That includes being deceitful, doing sneaky stuff with money, doing sneaky stuff with porn, doing sneaky stuff with drugs and all this kind of stuff, going places and then lying about where you've been, that kind of stuff. Just decide as a faithful believer in Christ Jesus, I am not going to lie to my spouse. And even if it blows up, we're going to work it out. And by the way, if you do try to work something out with your spouse and it doesn't, you can't, then you, what do you do? Then you go and good. Get help, and get help from someone who can keep their mouth shut, too. Colossians 3, verse 9 says, lie not one to another. And look at the context again. Look at verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, things that you put off in order to walk like a son of God. And then filthy communication in your mouth. And then what? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's what the old man does. And you know who the father of lies is? The devil is the father of lies. Lies are in his area. They're his, in his expertise. And when you get caught in a lie, you're getting caught in a trap. And you know who can never lie? It's impossible for God to lie, it says in Hebrews. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. And you put on the new man. Even if it's painful, tell the truth. If it makes you feel bad or it reveals a mistake that you made, tell the truth and work it out. And if something's going on that's off the word, speak the truth. Don't end up like Ananias and Sapphira. So as far as communication goes, don't lie. Don't lie to each other about anything. Don't lie to each other about anything. The second one, there's a million of them, but this is three I'm going over. The second would be in James 1. Look at James 1. And I want you to think about that. Do you lie to your wife? Do you lie to your husband? Because it's something you want to think about. If someone asks you a question, you ought to go, am I going to tell the truth or just, you know, just BS once again? Just front once again, or am I going to tell the truth? That's something you got to think about. In James 1, verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. And this is another very interesting part of communication is, if you're going to exchange information, someone has to listen, right? So the second one here is, try listening. If you want to know what's going on, guess what? Listen. There used to be a show on TV about a psychiatrist, I forget who it was, but he would always go, what I think I'm hearing you say is this. You ever heard that? Some people, you ever been to a psychiatrist? No one? Now, what was the first point that I made tonight? Don't lie. Okay, I've been to a psychiatrist when I was, like last year when I was like, you know when I wasn't here for 6 months? No, never mind. I have been. When I was in junior high, I was sent to a psychiatrist, but I escaped. But what you're supposed to do is, when people are talking, it's really a great skill. When people are talking, what do you do? Listen. What is she saying? What is he saying? It's like, what are they really saying? What are they trying to communicate? Maybe they're just like, I don't even want to get up and go anywhere. And why don't you go, what is she really trying to say? Why doesn't she want to get up and go anywhere? Why don't you want to get up and go anywhere? Why this? Why that? It's a skill. Listening is a skill, and we all need to be listened to. Look at Psalm 120. So just listen. Listen. You might already know the answer. You might already know the solution. But sometimes people just need to be listened to, don't they? Yep. They just need to talk stuff out. And yeah, it's stupid. You know, you could fix it in 1 second, especially a guy. You know, like with my wife, my wife's name is Carol. I don't know if you know, but she'll tell me something like, oh, I went to the car and the light bulb wasn't working in the top. Well, just change the light bulb, I'll say. But she'll want me to tell you what happened when the light bulb didn't work. She'll want to tell me the whole story, but I already know. Just change the light bulb, it'll be fine. But sometimes I should just go, oh, really, the light bulb needs to be changed? And what happened when you were driving around in the dark? And I know, I get scared too sometimes like that. Yeah, especially at, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, actually, I'll try to think of what to do, but yeah, I understand that was a hard day for you. Sometimes people need that, but what would Joe do? Change the effing light bulb. But sometimes, and even men need to be listened to sometimes, don't they? How was work today?
Oh, you couldn't believe what the boss said to me. He said that I had 3 left feet, and then I dropped them off in the acid blot of acid, and then I killed 3 people.
Oh, what did you want for dinner? I forgot already. People need to be listened to. And that's a part of communication. Communication isn't like, I tell you the truth, and you're like this wall. You know, nothing gets through. You listen to your spouse. In Psalm 120, just listen, be quiet and listen. Psalm 120, verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord. He didn't listen to me. He said, I know you're going to be gathered. Buck up, sonny. Is that what he said? No. When you talk to God, you ever talk to God? Does he just go, I already know the future, shut up? What does God do? He listens. God listens. Look at Psalm 142. God listens. Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. And he hates complaints, so he didn't listen. No. You can pour out your complaint to who? To God. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they have privily or privily or probably laid a snare for me. In other words, he knows. He has great empathy, great compassion. He knows that you have a hard day. He listens when you complain. And we ought to be that way with each other. We just should listen once in a while. Sure, we know all the answers, but sometimes we need to listen, and maybe we don't know exactly what's going on. Look at Numbers 11, talking about how cool God is. Numbers 11, verse 10. I love this. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man on the door of his tent. So they were complaining and all upset again. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And guess who else was sort of mad about it? Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And God says, shut up. No, God just listened to him go on. Do you think God knew what would happen here? Yeah, but God listened to him. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? You don't even like me anymore. That thou layest the burden of all this people upon me. Have I conceived this people? God jumps in. No, of course not. Shut up. No. He's just letting them go a little bit here. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom. Pretty dramatic, right? You're telling me to carry these people like little babies? Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me. God just let him go on. And sometimes you let people go on. You just listen. And then in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, and he gives them the solution. But what if it had been like this? Verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep through, no, verse 11, sorry. And Moses said unto the Lord, and then up to 16, and the Lord said to Moses, I'll give you 70 people, I don't need to hear all your complaining. God listened to him. That's the point. And sometimes you just listen to your spouse, and it's not just girls who complain, is it, girls? I mean, that's a contest sometimes, isn't it? Who complains the most in your house? But you could just say, renew your mind, make me dinner. But sometimes, I'm telling you, people need to be listened to. Look at 1 Kings 1. And how are you going to know what they're trying to communicate if you don't guess what? If you don't listen, you don't know what goes on in anyone's mind, right? You don't. I've been married, I don't know how long. How long? 40, 50, what, 45 years? Something. I don't know what goes on in Carol's mind to this day. I don't know how, I wasn't with her when she was raised up as a little girl. I don't know what her father was like. I don't know what her mother was like. I don't know how she was treated. I don't know what happened when she was in high school. I don't know how she thinks, but she doesn't really know how I think. But if you try to communicate your thoughts, then you can kind of know, you know? And that's very important. Otherwise, you don't know what your spouse is thinking many times. And if you just cut that off all the time, they're going to not want to talk to you, are they, after a while? They're going to think you're not interested, and probably because you're not. 1 Kings, until you want sex, right? And that's another story. That's another night. But 1 Kings 19... another great one. You understand what I'm trying to communicate to you? You know how you understand it? Because you're listening, aren't you? And this is the best way to talk to people. This is a one-way argument. I can say whatever I want and you can't argue back. It's better than marriage. That's why I do this. Because I can say whatever, I don't have to listen to you at all. But when you're trying to communicate, you gotta what? That's right. 1 Kings 19:9. And this is of course Elijah, and he's upset too. You can read the whole context if you want, but to save time, we'll start in 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Do you think God knew what Elijah was doing there? And he said, Elijah goes, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away." So God listened to him. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not on the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not on earth in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not on the fire. And after the fire, what? The voice of stillness. You know, God's voice. You got to be peaceful many times to hear God's voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said what? The same question he just asked him. Do you think God knew what was bothering Elijah? But he asked him again, "Well, what's bothering you?" Isn't that sweet? Do you realize how really kind and sweet and compassionate God is and how God treats you? Well, really, what's bothering you? What's bothering you again? What's bothering you? And he says the same thing, verse 14. And he said, "I have been very jealous." And God says, "You already told me that." No, he just let him go. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't let people complain. But sometimes you just, what? Listen. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant." And God says, "You already said this." No, he didn't. "Thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, and then he tells him what to do, how to make it okay. But the point is, God listens to you. Don't you know God listens to you? Is everything between you and God just business? Like, "I need these three things, get back to me." With me, it's like almost all the time. It's like, "Oh, help, please help me with this. Please, why do I have to do this? Why, you know, why do I have to go here? Please help. I don't want to do it. Blah, blah, blah." That's how you have what they call a relationship. You know, like fellowship. You know, full sharing with each other by talking to each other. And a part of talking to each other is, guess what? Listening. listening. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, 17. He that is soon angry, what? Dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So, do you just get mad right away? If you do, what does the Bible say? Then you're going to deal foolishly. So chill out a little bit. Just don't get mad right away. And in Proverbs 18, you know, don't just fly off the handle. Proverbs 18, verse 13, says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, that's a good idea, really. What's it say? He that answereth the matter before he, what's that word? So you're supposed to what? If a matter comes up, you should probably what?
Listen.
Probably listen. You know, hear it. You might already know what's all this stuff, but just hear it out. How many times have you jumped and been wrong after you jumped, after you got all mad and everything like that? You know, you assumed you knew what was going on and stuff without listening. So the word says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, that's not good. It's a folly and a shame unto him. So listen, hear it. And in Proverbs 20, verse 5, Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's like deep water. Counsel is advice or purpose, the reason for which something is done. Like, it's really not that easy to know what's going on inside of another person, is it? It's not. Like this verse, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will what? Draw it out. And so the picture is like, what's going on in a person many times is really deep. It's really, really deep. It's not just some surface thing. And you might have to work at it to get it out. Have you ever noticed that? Those of you who work with people and try to help people with all a lot of the problems they have in their lives, sometimes you got to sit down and just try to figure out what's going on in there, don't you? And it says a man of skill will draw it out. And that draw it out means to let down a bucket or to let down a pitcher into a well, and so to draw water, you know, to draw water out of it. That's the picture. And it's just talking about sometimes the reasons people do stuff, the reasons people think the way they think, the reason they move different directions or this comes up or that comes up, it's really deep. And you got to have some understanding, some wisdom to draw it out. And one of the greatest ways is just to simply listen. And you walk with God many times. But you don't really know someone the first time you meet them, do you? Do you even know yourself that well sometimes? Don't you surprise yourselves sometimes? And we, you know, so it takes a while. It takes some patience to draw out what's going on in there. And sometimes we need that. Not all the time. You can't spend every day of every week just talking all day about what your mom did to you when you lived in California or something like that, or Nevada or wherever. But you have to take some time with people to pull it out of them. And that's a person, that's a great skill. And one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see is a person's heart, if they'll show it to you, what their heart is really like. And that's very rare and precious to see that people will show you their heart, because their hearts have been stepped on so many times in this life. And a person of understanding will draw that out. And a part of that is, listen, Philippians 2. Does this make sense? You disagree? You can. No, you can't, because it's just a one-sided argument. Sometimes a good date night might be talk to each other. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Why not consider your spouse a little more important than you even? Her issues are his issues. They're important to you. You want to help. I mean, this life is not easy for anybody, is it? And supposedly, marriage was designed to help us through this life, to be a great blessing and a great strength, to help us to get through this life and live an abundant life and enjoy our lives. But it takes some work, it takes some effort, and we ought to be more concerned about our spouse than ourselves. Can we agree to that? Because this says you're supposed to be more concerned about the believers than yourself when your spouse is a believer. Verse 3 again, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem what? Other. And this one, look not every man on his own things. Don't just think about yourself, but every man also on the what? Things of others. Maybe your husband's really grouchy because his job really does suck. And maybe he just needs to talk about it maybe to you. And maybe get a little empathy from you. Like maybe you do, you know, you don't want to treat him too nice because they don't expect it all the time. But maybe his life is hard sometimes and maybe he does need to just get it out and have somebody tell him they love them, tell him he loves them. You know, men get basically super disrespected in the world, especially at this time. And it's so nice to have a spouse who does show you some respect, does show you that you're worth something, that you are a good man, or that you deserve to be looked up to. And women, they need to be shown that they're loved, that they're precious, that they're cared about. And that doesn't happen much in the world, but it should happen in our marriages, shouldn't it? I mean, what are you doing if you're not even taking care of your husband, if you're not taking care of your wife, if you're taking care of the rest of the church, but not your husband or wife? Well, I know why. It's easy to take care of someone for a half an hour at a meeting. And then, wasn't that great? Yeah. Oh, how you doing? Good, me too. See you later. It's like, how's everything going? Really got to go. Can you believe they almost tried to talk to me? Can't do that at home, can you? Hope not. But, you know, take care of that believer that you live with. That's first, right? The people around you, take care of them. Have some compassion. We all know the right answers to everything, but maybe people need to work things out. Maybe something needs to turn. Maybe they just need to be appreciated, you know? And who's going to bring that comfort? Who's going to bring that stuff? It's not going to be the TV. Back to James 1:19. So don't lie. And you should really think about, do I lie? And that includes the area of BSing. You know what BSing is? What would that be in Spanish? Toro. What it would be? What's BSing in Spanish?
I don't know. Mentira.
What?
Mentira.
What's that?
Lies.
Oh, but that's just lies. Is there a phrase like BSing? Bullshitting?
Say like mentiritas, like little lies.
Mentiritas? Well, is that lying? BSing? Yeah, it is. Just we don't do that to each other. So don't lie. And listen to each other. And you know what? Listening is a good habit, because maybe you'll hear stuff from God too, if you listen. James 1, sometimes it's when you're listening that God shows you exactly what to do. You ever had that happen when you're counseling with somebody and you're listening to them and you're loving them and concerned about them and want to get to the bottom, and all of a sudden, you know. In James 1:19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what?
Hear.
That's a good phrase, isn't it? It means quick to something, but quick to what? And then what? Slow to speak and slow to wrath, you know, slow to wrath. And the third one I want to go over tonight is slow to speak. Choose your words. Nowhere in God's word does it say just say whatever comes into your mind. Nowhere. And many times there's great damage done when people get angry and say whatever comes into their minds. And you know, it's very hard to forget some words, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things that I was told when I was like 6 years old that still bother me to this day. That's why I wear pajamas to work a lot and have a lot of stuffed animals in my bed. But what's wrong with that? Stuffed animals in your bed? Then no one can get at you. Okay. You don't have to listen to everything the guy says. But the point is, choose your words. Words are deadly. Words can be so deadly. And it says that in Proverbs. Life and death are in the word. And they can really do damage. So be careful with your words. And not just be careful, but use them to help. Use them like a tool to help your spouse. Because they're great tools. They're great ways to lift people up and help people. And well, you ever hear the worship manifestations? What are those? Words. You know, those worship manifestations. Have you ever heard that before, what God says? Have you heard him say that stuff before? So why does he keep saying it if you already know it? Why does he keep saying it, the same stuff? Why? Because you need to hear it. Guess what? Over and over and over. It's just like the word. We don't need to hear how monkeys got on the moon from the Bible. We need to hear about believing, you know, fear, that kind of stuff, over and over and over, just like the manifestations. And what does your spouse expect to come out of your mouth towards them? Are they looking forward to it? In Proverbs 10, verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not what? But he that refraineth his lips is wise. So in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. You know, in a ton of talking, you know, there can be sin. But the advice here in Proverbs is that you refrain your lips. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. So once again, control what you speak. And that's what the word teaches, by the way. Think before you speak. Control what you say. And in a relationship, it's really important to think about what you are going to communicate or how you're communicating to that person that you are joined together with. You know, you're becoming one flesh, that you're a part of each other. It's very important that you're proactive, that you use words to bless people. And don't just talk, and don't think about it. In other words, the word teaches, think before you speak. Can we agree with that?
Yeah.
Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth what? All is mine, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. So don't just, you know, think about what you're saying. Don't just talk, you know, think. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15:1. You ever tried this one? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up what? So if somebody's mad, if your spouse is mad, it's good to be mad back, because what will that do? Stir up what? Anger. And soft is to be tender. Try that sometimes. If, you know, one or the other of you is, you know, full of wrath or angry, instead of being angry back, try being tender. Did you ever try that? Try being the adult in the room. You don't all have to be adults all the time. But it helps if one is an adult sometimes. And just go, look, I'm not taking this personally, and you know, I'm not going to stir this up even worse. I'm just going to maybe ask God what to say. Maybe be quiet, you know, and ask God what to say. And God many times gives believers the perfect thing to say at the perfect time. But a soft answer, a tender answer, turns away wrath. And that's what comes out of your mouth. You understand that? What comes out of your mouth, which we are to control. Of course, Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4. Words can really, really do damage, and words can really, really be a blessing. And you decide what's going to come out of your mouth. Like here in Ephesians 4, 29, it says, let you know, half of the communication be corrupt, proceeding out of your mouth. Is that what God says? Let how much? And that corrupt is like just yucky stuff. Let how much? No. And communication is logos, if you like that type of thing. You know, what? How, that's the word. What comes out of your words? No corrupt communication. And then it says what? Come into your brain?
No.
No, what does it say? Kind of cool, it uses proceed, doesn't it? It might come into your brain, but don't let it go where? Out of your mouth. Isn't that cool? Which indicates some sort of control. Like you might think, but just go, I'm not going to have any corrupt communication. Proceed from my brain to my mouth and out. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, and good is could be skillful, and use is need. Good to the need of what? And I'll tell you what, we all need to be built up, don't we? We all need to be told when we're doing good, don't we? Don't we? I think so. Well, I guess the word says we should build each other up, doesn't it? And that's help each other with our confidence towards God, our confidence with our walk. It's a need to be built up. And who better to build us up than someone that we're connected to, someone that we live with? We build each other up. We don't tear each other down. And the tendency is to tear each other down. But we say words that are good, skillful, to the need of building people up. I try to never miss an opportunity to thank your spouse for something they did, or never miss an opportunity to compliment your spouse for something they did well, because how often do we get built up in this life? How often do we get told you did a good job, or you're appreciated, or, you know, thank you for helping me with my kids, or your kids, or our kids, or and thanks for petting the dog, or all this kind of stuff. How often, really? Think about your own life. How often do you get thanked for stuff, or appreciated, shown appreciation for stuff, or told you're good, or whatever? I'm not talking about the, what's that guy, Bobby, what's his name? The coach of UConn. What kind of a coach is that guy? What kind of coach do they call him?
Psycho.
Yeah, but they call him a hard coach. And that's good. We all need coaching. I'm not talking about that. We need to be coached. We need to be challenged. We need to be pushed. But then if you do it right, if you succeed, you know, maybe you should bless your spouse and tell them. How often do you get told you did a good job? Seriously. I don't know. But where was I? Oh, and then it says, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And what should come out of your mouth, isn't this a sweet phrase? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grace is just, you know, sweetness, kindness, undeserved favor. I don't know why, but I just love you. And I just think you're great. What would be wrong with that? Is there something, are we giving something away if we compliment our spouse, like that's taking away our independence or giving them the edge in the whole contest or something like that? Just minister grace unto the hearers. And that's what it says in Ephesians to the faithful in Christ. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Just minister grace. That's what comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 15. So choose your words. And, you know, realize that they can really help. What you say can really, really help someone and really help your spouse. Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. What's that say? Just so good. Someone tells you the coolest thing at the perfect time. That's really good. And we all walk with God. God is well able to show you cool things to say at the perfect time. Some revelation is all about timing. And just at the right time, you're right there to say the right thing. How good is that? Or Proverbs 25. We should be sweet to each other. This life is hard. Who do we got watching out for us? We have an advantage. We have the body of Christ. Our fellowships are so important. We watch out for each other. It's very rare these days. And yet inside of that, we have our marriages. And that's like a little mystery or whatever. You can send your cards and letters about what it really is. I don't know exactly what it is, but isn't it compared to the mystery or something like that? And how about, didn't God design that so that you would have someone to help you, you know, through this life? So why not have it to be, I'm going to help this person. This person is going to be the one I help the most. I help the most through life, my spouse. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Of course, it's oranges on a silver platter. And the point is, how refreshing. I mean, your words can be so refreshing to somebody. And we're supposed to be like the refreshment, the refreshing of this planet, the believers with Christ in them, the hope of glory. We just refresh people. And our words can just be so refreshing, like on a really hot day, like giving someone orange juice or Gatorade or ghost drink, whatever that is. What's that drink? Ghost speed drink. What's it called? Go speed up your metabolism and never go to sleep drink. What do they call those kind of drinks? Energy drinks. Energy drinks. But how about thinking this week, I want to say something that is so refreshing to my spouse. And she'll go, you are at that teaching. I know what you're up to. So then wait 6 months. Wait 6 months till she forgets. And then try it. But, you know, just why not try to be refreshing? What are we doing with each other? Are we trying to help each other through this thing? Or just mad because they're not doing enough for us? Because really, if you're mad about that, you're really mad at God. Because God's the one that takes care of us. I mean, we do take care of each other, but you understand what I'm saying, right? The good stuff comes from God, like your identity, your joy, your sense of purpose, your sense of worth. That all comes from our Father. And yeah, we help each other with that kind of stuff, but let's just take care of each other. Proverbs 25 I read, did I? Okay. Proverbs 16. The point being, use your words like a tool to bless, because they really do bless. Did you guys get blessed with the worship manifestations? That's just, God blesses us that way. Do you hear those kind of kind things more from God at fellowship or your spouse? Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And what? Well, that's true. You know, God doesn't lie. He's not just trying to write some cool things in here. He means it. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet. Sweet to the soul, health to the bones. It helps with health. Look at Proverbs 12. Heaviness, that's being depressed. Being pushed down in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Can you picture that? Just some days, and this is mankind. It could be, you know, a wife, a husband. Just life is crushing sometimes, isn't it? Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. But a good word, what? A good word. Think about that. How cool it is to be able to be skillful at edifying people and minister in grace. I'm not saying let them off the hook or, you know, don't tell them what's right and wrong, don't reprove, but this should be a part of the whole thing. Isaiah 50. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? How about that? God says to the believers at this time, did you divorce me? whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you've sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. That's a good phrase, mother put away. Verse 2, wherefore when I came, was there no man? God saying, I came, where were you? God says, when I called, there was no one to answer. God's there. God's working on it. When I called, was there none to answer? And then God asked, is my hand shortened at all? Can I not do things, God is saying? Why aren't you ever expecting me to help you? I am. I'm calling. I'm here. Can I not do things? Is that what you think? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Does God have no power to deliver? Behold, I can do things, God says. Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. In other words, God, I do stuff. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. And then it says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word, what? In season to him that is weary. And you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have God in Christ in you. God works in you. And he can tell you the right thing to say at the right time. That's part of the fun of this, is to have God walk and talk with you and show you cool things. That's a part of the great fun of this walk. And if you want to help people who are weary, God can show you the perfect thing to say. Or if you want to help someone to get healed, God can show you the perfect thing to say, the perfect thing to do. And because you have Christ in you, this should not even be an issue. God does work. God does do things. Verse 4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. I hear from God every day, morning by morning. And I'm like a real smart psychiatrist because I know exactly what to say. And who is that? Somebody with Christ in them who God works in. That's a part of being a blessing on this earth, a balm to the people of this earth, and especially to your spouse. Proverbs 27. We can't maybe save everyone in China, but we can sure take care of our wife, can't we? Our kids, our husband, our fellowship. Proverbs 27. And we just want to be a kind people, don't we? God's people. Proverbs 27, verse 9, says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Now think about that. That's like cologne. Not all colognes, we know. But what is a really sweet smell? Doesn't that just bless you? Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, and so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by what? Hearty counsel. And that's just like by just talking things over. That's just so sweet. Hearty counsel. You finding out what's going on with you. I find out what's going on. We just spend some time talking together. Maybe go to Applebee's. Some people like Applebee's, but some people don't. Talk to each other. So sweet, hearty counsel. Just getting into each other's hearts, finding out what's going on in there, finding out, why you're sad or why you're so blessed or what you're looking forward to or what's going on. I take the time then to figure out what's going on. And it says that's just so, so sweet. Verse 9 again. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. All right, so go to 1 Peter 3. You get the point. Talking about communication, there's other principles in communication, of course, but don't lie to each other. Listen to each other and choose your words. Choose your words. In 1 Peter 3, Where is Peter? There's no one named Peter in here?
Peter Chow.
Peter? Oh, yeah, there's Peter. That's a good name. Why don't you name your kids Peter? Instead of a chamois. Rose of the Valley. Never mind. I'm going to get in trouble. See, I just watched my words. If you have a mind like mine, you have to watch your words quite a lot. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know who them is, don't you? Yeah. Oh, it says it. Giving, what's it say? No. Honor? And that's respect or esteem or value? Scratch that out of the Bible. Nope. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, I like that, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Respect, esteem, show them their value, show them how valuable they are. Likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman, as unto the weaker vessel. Don't get mad. It's not saying women are weaker. At the gathering, all men are going to have at least one baby to see how strong they were. That's not true, by the way. But it's really like the weaker vessel means you could break her. Like the most valuable jar you have in your house from the Ming Dynasty, right? That if you're too rough with it, what's going to happen? You could break it, and you should realize that. You can break her with your words, with your actions, with your meanness, with attitude and all that kind of stuff. People can be broken. People can be broken. We know this, don't we? People can be broke down. They can be broken. And you got to realize that. Likewise, use husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. You're just walking through this life. You're heirs together of the grace of life. You're the best example of how believers help each other. You're of one flesh. You have great families, all that kind of stuff. You're just great helps through this life to each other. Verse 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another, having compassion for each other. In other words, I know what you're going through. I fellow feeling, like, yeah, it bothers me that you're hurting right now. I want to help you. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, and for the men especially, be pitiful. Wah, wah. No, pitiful means compassionate, tenderhearted, okay? Be tenderhearted. You let people in. A tender heart will let someone in there, not a tough heart where everything bounces off. Be compassionate one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. I love that one. Be courteous. But that means be kind and friendly. How about that? Try being friendly to your husband or wife. Have some compassion. We all go through a lot in this life. Not rendering evil for evil, not back and forth, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, what do we give each other? Blessing each other, not going back and forth with insults and all this. You didn't do this, you didn't do that, blah, blah, blah. But blessing. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And I'm going to close in Ephesians 4, back to Ephesians 4. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This is how to walk, you know, this is how to put on the new man. It's just not a code of conduct, these verses in Ephesians. The context is how to put on the new man, how to walk. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what?
Put it away.
Put it away. Pick it up and take it out like the garbage. Like the garbage. With all malice, and that's ill intent. Just don't let any of that stick in your heart and minds. And verse 32 says, and be ye what? And that's the exhibition of tenderness to other individuals. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Let people in. Tenderhearted. And then what? Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right? So that's some things about communication. Don't lie. And listen and choose your words. Be careful with your words. Okay? All right. Want me to pray? Father, thank you so much for all these great people. Thanks for what a blessing they are to my life and just each other. Thanks that they're just so wonderful. And thanks for your great tenderness in our lives. And just thanks for the great marriages we have and the great kids that we have. And ask you to protect them and watch out for them. And just bear your hand for us. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. You're welcome.